Romans chapter 11. You better get a move on. If you've been watching any kind of news or accidentally turn it on or want to listen to something and they have flashes or they have the scroll, there's a lot of stuff going on about Israel. Now, I want to tell you something. Israel's had a lot of problems. They had the Babylonians tear them apart. They had the Romans tear them apart after Jesus. Jesus warned them of that. They've had the Holocaust. But I want you to know Israel is not a wimp. Sometimes we don't even stop and think. People say stuff, well, Israel's going to be pushed in the sea. Arabs are going to overrun it. Don't buy it. Somebody's going to drop a nuclear bomb on Israel. Have we forgot that Israel is already nuclear armed? They have the bomb. Sometimes it helps to go look at God's word and see what he has to say. Amen? You know, God warned them in keep your finger in Romans chapter 11. I want to take you to Luke 19. And Jesus is talking after the Palm Sunday Express. And they were telling the disciples to shut up. And Jesus said, if these people shut up, the stones are going to cry out. You know, when you're just standing around and watching Kurt Lee worship, sometimes he says, you know, the stones will cry out. Wouldn't that be interesting? You're standing there doing nothing and the chairs start crying. Praise God. It was good this morning. I'm just saying, you know, Jesus said, if they don't want to praise me, the rocks will praise me. Where'd the rocks come from? God. And so Jesus looked at him in 19 and verse 41. Now as he drew near, he saw the city, Jerusalem, and he wept over it, saying, if you had known, even you especially in this your day, the things that make for your peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes, for the days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment around you, surround you, and close you in on every side, and level you and your children within you to the ground, and they will not leave in you one stone upon another because you did not know the time of your visitation. That happened already. That happened. The Romans did that. The temple was torn down, carried away. The Romans kind of destroyed Jerusalem. How do I know that? There's no temple in Jerusalem right now. Anybody know that? There's no temple. They have synagogues. What are we hearing Christians say for the last 40 years? They're going to rebuild the temple. But the real temple's coming and set up a kingdom for 1,000 years. Amen. Hello? One time. God has a purpose for Jerusalem. Now, every time you lose hope, take a look at Israel. Every time you give up on somebody, every time you feel that nothing's going to change, every time you feel miserable, every time you start thinking about things and you start getting depressed, discouraged, frustrated, think of Israel. Think of what they went through. They went through the Babylonians. They went through evil kings. They went through the Romans. They went through the Holocaust. And yet God still says, I haven't abandoned them. Look at Romans chapter 11, verse number 1. I say then, has God cast away his people? Certainly not. For I also am an Israelite of the seed of Benjamin, of the, of Abraham of the tribe of Benjamin. God has not cast away his people whom he foreknew, or do you not know what the scripture says of Elijah, how he pleads with God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed your prophets and torn down your altars, and I alone am left, and they seek my life. But what does the divine response to him? I have reserved myself 7,000 men who have not bowed their knee to Baal. I want to deal with that just for a second. I want you to look at that. Understand something. That the few hundreds of people in our region were not the whole body of Christ. Hello?
That's right.
Oops. We're not the body of Christ all by ourselves. There are people worldwide that are serving God. I think the last estimate that there probably could be 1 billion Christians in the world. So that would be 1/5 or 1/6 of the population. How many of you guys were in the military? Just Dan, Ray? How many realize in the military there were casualties? Just heard about 3 Canadian soldiers being shot by friendly fire. I don't think somebody who I know shooting at me is friendly. But that's neither here nor there. There are people, and we had an amazing time Thursday at World Day of Prayer, praying for the persecuted believers. There are Christians dying in this world for Jesus Christ. And why are they dying? Because they believe the truth. And friends, the least we can do is pray. Pray that God protects them. Pray that God's hand will stop some of the violence. Let's do that now. Father, we just thank you that you see everything and you know the Christians dying in the Middle East. You know the Christians dying in Iraq and Syria and foreign countries. And Lord, we just simply ask that you will minister to them, that you will touch them, that you'll encourage them. And Lord, in your plan, bring protection so that the gospel of Jesus Christ can be proclaimed to these nations. In Jesus' name, amen. Now there are some things happening and going to happen. How can I say that Israel is not going to be pushed in the sea and some other region going to take over the land? Because, as I said before, Christ is coming back to rule in Jerusalem. Yes. There's going to be some things happen in Jerusalem that we don't even want to see. Zechariah 13 says that 2/3 of the people there are going to die. Zechariah 14 says that the Lord is coming and the city of Jerusalem will be ravished. People will be dying. Things will happen. But Jesus is going to set his feet on the Mount of Olives, I believe it is. And the mount's going to split from the east to the west. And when he comes back, the Bible says his saints are coming with him. Revelation chapter 19, when Christ comes back, it talks about calling the birds together to eat the flesh of the kings and the mighty men and the things going on. And I personally believe that's Armageddon. So Israel is not out of the woods as far as the enemies are concerned, but they will remain a people. Then God begins to deal with some other stuff in Romans chapter 11. In verse number 5, it says, even so then, at this present time, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. Interesting. And if grace then is no longer of works, otherwise grace is no longer grace. But if it is of works, it is no longer grace. Otherwise work is no longer work. You get that? If it's works, it's not grace. And if it's works, it can't be grace. And if it's grace, it's not works. We okay? I read that, and I read that, and I read that, and I read that. What then? Israel has not obtained what it seeks, but the elect have obtained it, and the rest were blinded. It's kind of interesting to see what God has to say. Now, keep in mind something. From the time that Paul was writing this, there were Jewish Christians, okay? We would call them Messianic Jews in today. They believed in Christ. And the way they were born again is the same way you were. Through grace. Through God's love. Through God's mercy. I have not heard of a major revival in Jerusalem, but there's coming one. And I believe it's our part. The Bible says in Psalm 122:6, to pray for the peace of Jerusalem because they will prosper. They will prosper. There's going to be a major change. There's going to be a time, the Bible says, when they're going to look on the one they pierced and ask Jesus, where did you get those wounds? Zechariah 13. And he's going to say, I got them in the house of my friends. And so, Jerusalem and the Jew are not going to find salvation by going back to the old covenant and bringing their animals and killing them and shedding the blood and offering the blood. Why? Because the blood has been offered. They may try. I know they want the temple. They want the temple for the wrong reason. They want to be able to offer the sacrifices. But the sacrifice is complete for all mankind. There are no other sacrifices that bring salvation. And so what Paul is telling them is, you know, Paul kind of was a Jew. Kind of was a Pharisee. He's telling them, your ways don't do it. It's not about what you're doing. It's not how you're doing it. It's no longer by works. It's totally by grace. And if you want to skip ahead with me, skip down with me to chapter 9. I'm sorry. I remembered. Chapter 9. Verse 30. Chapter 9. Don't miss this. What shall we say then? That Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness have obtained to righteousness, even the righteousness of faith. Hello, got me? Righteousness of faith. But Israel, pursuing the law of righteousness, has not attained to the law of righteousness. Why? Because they did not seek it by faith, but as it were, by the works of the law. But they stumbled at the stumbling stone. They didn't find it. Somebody tell me what Ephesians 2:8 says. For by grace you are saved through what? It is a gift of God, not of works. Look at me. Basically, you can earn nothing from God. And the Jewish people don't get that yet. They still believe that by keeping the law, trying to fulfill the law, living a life that is under the law, not realizing that they have come into bondage, that they can be saved. Then you say, oh, that's foolishness. Wait a minute. Let me ask you a question. How many people do you know that think by going to church they can be saved?
That's right.
Huh? You and I will never be saved apart from the blood of Jesus Christ and Him alone.
Amen.
You can sit in this church every day, 24 hours a day, till Christ comes, and you'll still be lost if you're expecting that to save you.
That's right.
I don't understand something. When people don't accept the whole Bible, they missed what the Bible is saying.
That's right, amen.
We had a class when I was in college, one I went to, maybe the only one. Let me see, what was that class? Oh, lunch. We had a class called hermeneutics. Hermeneutics was a comparison of the old to the new. Don't get lost now. Keep in mind, Jesus says you can't put new wine in old wineskins, right? What's going to happen? You can't add the law to grace and have a mixture. It doesn't work. You don't want to go out there and commit adultery and do all the other stuff. That's not right. There's still sin. But you can't mix the two as far as your salvation goes. And so Jesus was saying, no one wants to put the new wine in the old wineskins because the wineskins will burst. But everybody likes the old wine because they say the wine is better. Do you realize the New Testament is harder on people than the Old Testament, except you don't always die?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Come on.
That's right.
You look at a woman and what have you done with lust in your heart? You want to choke Brian? What have you done? You ever feel that way?
Not too often. Not
it's fun having somebody in the front row. And so in hermeneutics, you take the old and you try to look at what happened to it when it came into the new. Well, here's the deal. If God doesn't say anything about it, we don't know. We do know this, that the animal sacrifice passed through the cross, which is a hermeneutical filter, and came into the New Testament as Jesus being the Passover lamb. So sacrifice was done away with. Okay? Kirk will like this. Praise and worship from the Psalms came through the hermeneutical filter into the New Testament. It wasn't changed. Hello?
That's right.
It wasn't changed. And so we come to a place where we look at the things that pass through the cross. Okay, I said something about first fruits. I said something about tithing, okay? Tithing came through the hermeneutical filter called the cross, came in the New Testament, and Jesus kept it. It passed through. And so what the Jews couldn't do and what Israel couldn't do, they could not put the past in the past and accept the new. Do you realize at the foot of the cross or before that, in Pilate's judgment hall, they said, let his blood be upon who? Us and our children. Not a great statement. Do we realize that the protagonists that were stoning Paul and beating Paul and throwing Paul in prison were the Jewish people under the law? And so something had to change. And Paul knew in the revelation from Jesus what had to change is that we had to put the law, which was fulfilled, aside and come to a place of accepting grace And the Jewish people didn't want that. And so what happened? What then? In verse 7, Israel has not obtained what it seeks, but the elect have attained it. The rest were blinded, just as written, God has given them a spirit of stupor, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear to this very day. And David says, let their table become a snare and a trap, a stumbling block and a recompense to them. Let their eyes be darkened so that they do not see, and bowed down their back always. Isaiah then, have they stumbled that they should fall? Certainly not. But through their fall, to provoke them to jealousy, salvation has come to the Gentiles. Aren't you thankful you're a Gentile?
Yes.
To you. So you want all the rest of you wanted to come to church dragging one of Jason's sheep. So they stumbled because they were locked in to the old. Keep in mind, the God of this world has blinded people's minds that they won't see the light of the glorious gospel. But don't get all discouraged because it doesn't stop here. Verse number 15. For if their being cast away is the reconciling of the world, and what will their acceptance be but life from the dead? For if the first fruit is holy, the lump is holy. And if the root is holy, so now are the branches. How many realize you're branches? My Father is the husbandman, I am the vine, and you are the branches. I want you to visualize something. How many have ever limbed a tree? Have you ever grafted in another branch into a tree? Have you ever drilled it out and put another branch in there? Kirk must have done. Have you ever done that, Kirk?
No, my neighbor
does. Alan? Now here's what happened. In all seriousness, this happened. God, through Paul, is looking at the tree and he's saying, if the root is good, the branches are good. Okay?
Yes.
If the root is good, if that root is going down and bringing the nutrients and the water to the tree is good. The branches are good.
Yes.
But something happened when Israel refused to accept Christ as the only way. The Bible said that the branches were cut off, that the Gentiles might be grafted in. We're grafted in. And so we don't look at the Jews and make fun of them. We don't look at them and say, how foolish or how stupid or how dumb. We look at them and realize that because of their decision, we were grafted in, and the root supplied the nutrients for us to grow.
That's right.
But it's not over. It's not over. Verse number 19. Verse number 18. Do not boast against the branches. But if you do boast, remember that you do not support the root, but the root supports you. Listen. What does a tree look like that has beautiful branches but no root? That's what they call a Christmas tree. That's what they call a Christmas tree. When that tree is cut down, there's no life left. And so you keep it for a couple of weeks and you get it out before it catches on fire. Really? You and I are branches. We get everything we need from the root. Without the root, we're cut off and thrown in the fire, Jesus said in John 15. Read that. Pretty interesting. But when that root is down, when that root is in the ground and it's getting the nutrients and the water and everything's going up the trunk, the branches flourish. Okay. So I take and I cut off a branch and I say, I'm going to start my own tree. So I dig a hole and I bury that branch. No root. Many people live without being connected to the root. And from the root, we get the supply of what we need. But don't give up yet. Well said, because of unbelief they were broken off, and you stand by faith. Do not be haughty, but fear. For if God did not spare the natural branches, he may not spare you either. Therefore, consider the goodness and severity of God on those who fell. Severity, but toward you goodness. If you continue in his goodness, otherwise you will also be cut off. And they also, if they do not continue in unbelief, will be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in. Look at me. They were cut off. They were dead. Their legal system did not help them. But God said, I'm bringing them back. I'm going to bring them back. I'm going to graft them back in. I'm going to bring about my total plan for Israel and my total plan for the Gentiles. I'm not, and I haven't abandoned Israel. They are going to be part of the tree that we were grafted into. They're going to be grafted back in. And he says this, all Israel will be saved. Interesting verse. I've heard people preach every Jew is going to be saved. That's not what he's saying. It's not a universal thing for the Jews. Take time when you get a chance and read Zechariah 13 and 14. It says something like this, and 2/3 of the people will die and 1/3 will be left. When everything is ravished, when everything is torn apart in Israel, before the coming of the Lord, many are going to die. But what's left is a remnant of Israel that's going to be grafted into the tree, and they're going to look at Jesus and realize he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen. Let's take this to us. How many of you have ever been discouraged because it seems like somebody abandoned the Lord? Walked away. Doing their own thing. Living their own life. Pray for them, but don't panic. It's not over till it's over. God's grace and mercy reaches out to them through you. And God's grace and mercy is more than able to overcome a multitude of sin. There's one thing. Israel walked away, but God didn't stop loving them.
That's right.
And he still has a plan. I'd love to be able to pick his mind and see what he's going to do about Iran. Or Iraq, or Syria, or ISIS, or any of these other things going on. But the media keeps people in such a panic, we don't have time to figure things out according to God's word. It seems to me like God knows a little bit more than Bill O'Reilly or Sean Hannity or that pretty blonde on there, whatever her name is. It seems like God has a better idea. It seems like God knows more. But we just start thinking what we've heard or what someone told us. God has Israel right where he wants them. And God has you where he wants you.
Amen.
But don't sit on a stool there.
That's right.
Keep growing. Keep walking. Keep maturing. Keep moving on.
Amen.
Because we today are the light of the world. And you don't cover it up with a basket. You let it shine. You may look at me and say, Pastor, do you really believe all that stuff you said? I believe what the Bible says. I don't care if it's Zechariah or Revelation. If God put it in there, he put it in there for a purpose. And if you don't agree with what it says, talk to God. I'm not the one that wrote it. We are living in an amazing time of love and grace and faith and mercy and compassion. And that's what he wants us to demonstrate.
Yes.
I believe in Revelation that the 144,000, the 12,000 from each tribe, he's anointing for evangelism. They're going to spread the gospel. I believe, and Paul talks about in chapter 11, the end or the fullness of the Gentiles. Jesus said the city's going to be trampled around till the time of the Gentiles is fulfilled. Our time is coming to an end. The time is coming when God is raising up Jewish leaders and Jewish people, and they're going to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. They're going to be sealed by the Holy Spirit, and they're not going to be afraid of death. God didn't abandon the Jew. The Jew just has to come every way, the same way that we had to come. They have to believe in the one they crucified. And they will see the Holy Spirit doing that. Wonderful time, folks. We have Messianic Jews walking the streets of New York City and Chicago and other areas proclaiming Jesus. And are they being abused? Yeah. Are they ostracized? Sometimes, yeah. Can they go to the synagogue? No. But the same spirit that anoints these Messianic Jews are going to anoint Jews. 144,000, the Bible says they're sealed with the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And they're going to proclaim the goodness of God. You see, it's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance.
Amen.
It's the goodness. It's his mercy. It's his compassion. It's his love. Do you ever stop and think? I've been thinking about this, and I don't know. You can throw me out if you want. Kirk will deal with me tomorrow. Do you ever stop and think that the prodigal son might have been a reference to the nation of Israel? I'm not saying it was. I'm saying, did you ever think? Little Jewish boy in a pig pen? Little Jewish nation doing things that they shouldn't have been doing and not believing what they should have been doing. But they come back to the Father. What does the Father do? He embraces them.
That's right.
chew on it. I'm not saying I totally believe it. I'm preaching something I want to make you think. Now I'm getting scared. A remnant according to the election of grace. You watch. From the time that the Jewish people were in Egypt until today, when they cry out to the Father, something happens. Amen?
Amen.
Remember, what was the Six-Day War? You'll hear stories of miracles on the battlefield where God had to intervene. What was that song we sang? I will not be shaken. Do you believe that?
Yes, sir.
I want us to experience and see the amazing grace of God. Reaching out to people who you've been praying for, but also reaching out to the nation of Israel, because grace is going to bring them back. The root is still the same. The root is good. The first fruits will be good.